Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. I am so glad that you joined me. If you missed any of the first hour, you may want to go back to the MyFaithRadio.com page and check it out. I just got done talking to Michael Franzese. He, at one point, was in the mafia crime family, and he was making $8 to $9 million a week. I think I could live off that. I have nothing in common with Michael. He was running a mafia family, and I have never even gotten a speeding ticket. Although I did once take my tags off my mattresses, which I don't think you're supposed to. So there is a little bit of rebel in me. I've got a great hour planned. Dr. Marcus Bachman is in my studio. He's the president of Counseling Care and has been a clinical therapist in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years. He's a very popular speaker, an incredibly nice guy, and we're going to have a lot of good times today on the show. So I say that because he's upbeat and he's positive, and I just find him fascinating. And we're going to talk about some tough stuff today, and I want to open up the phone lines and let you know in advance. If you have a question about marriage or a family matter, maybe you're dealing with a little bit of the depression, anxiety, and you need a word of advice from an expert, I'm going to want you to give me a call. That number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. They always say you got to say it three times, 877-933-2484. You can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. I can ask a question on your behalf if you like. And also that 877-933-2484 number works as a text. But I would love if you would call. You can remain anonymous, of course, and we will... We're going to talk about how childhood affects one's adult life when we come back. That's where we're going to start with Dr. Marcus Bachman. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back.
As our 70th anniversary approaches, we're celebrating. Join us for a night of comedy, music, and ministry. If you love Triple Espresso, you're going to really love this. Join Bill Arnold and the writers of Triple Espresso as we celebrate 70 years of radio ministry. Michael Pierce Donnelly, Bob Stromberg, and Bill Arnold will keep you laughing with a great evening of laughter and music. One night only, 7 p.m. March 16th at the Knight Performance Hall, the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. Tickets are on sale now at MyFaithRadio.com.
Every Monday, your inbox fills with emails from your kids' school, reminders about upcoming meetings, coupons for your favorite store. At Faith Radio, we hope to provide a steady voice that roots you in truth and equips you to abide in Christ through the new weekly prayer devotional email. Together, we're seeking to build a firm foundation and instill rhythms that bring us closer to God, practices to reestablish our feet. Sign up to receive the free weekly prayer devotional email today at MyFaithRadio.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Dr. Marcus Bachman is in my studio. And let me just remind you again of his background. He's a clinical therapist here in the Twin Cities. And he received his master's in education from Regent University, which is in Virginia Beach. And he received his doctorate in clinical psychology from Union Graduate Institute, located in Cincinnati, Ohio. His wife is Michelle, and they're the parents of five kids, and they've been foster parents to more than 20 kids, and they live in the St. Croix Valley. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Bill, it is absolutely wonderful to be with
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I am almost curious, how do you foster more than 20 kids? How does that work? Seriously.
Well, you have three or four in your home at a time.
Okay.
You expand your kitchen so that it accommodates the five biological children
sure.
that you already have. And, they were there with us for typically a year or two
okay.
years at a time. We got them in their sophomore, junior year of high school. Our goal was to graduate them.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's just kind of a tricky age, too. I mean, that's not the easiest age to bring a child into your house.
It's an adventure. I could tell you all sorts of police reports that were involved in the scene. But,
yeah.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
We We honestly believe that it was much more of a blessing for us than anything else. We grew, we draw near to what God had in store for us, and to see the changed lives in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Kids came, that was their last stop, I mean, before they graduated from high school. They had been in foster home after foster home or group home, and this was it. And so our goal was, let's have them graduate, and a second goal was, let's have them reunite with one or both of their biological parents, and both of those goals were met for all of the 23 foster children.
Wow.
We're very, very blessed.
Did you become a light sleeper?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah?
I had ears and eyes
I bet you did.
All over the place.
I bet you did, yeah. Yeah.
It was good. It was all good. No, I mean, you know, and you have to have certain rules for how that works, and you've got to have a real sense of, you know, everybody's got a job because, you know, with at the time, 7 to 9 kids in a home at a time, you can have chaos reign.
No, so. Who's the enforcer? You or Michelle?
Oh, actually, we were both enforcers.
Okay.
I know that one usually is a stronger enforcer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the old saying, you know, wait until dad comes home. That was sometimes. But I have to say, as you probably can imagine, Michelle is a very strong woman, and she could handle things quite well on her own. So
yeah,
both of us were definitely included.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate your heart, the fact that you and Michelle did that, and probably, are you done doing that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Take a look at my gray hair. Yes.
All right.
We have grandchildren, so
okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. But what a ministry that was, and what a difference you made in the lives of many kids.
Thank you.
So I'm very impressed, and what a blessing that was for those kids. And then being a clinical therapist, I mean, you obviously have a deep desire to continue to just to help people wherever they are and whatever needs they have or however they're struggling, because on this show, whenever we have these kinds of discussions like what we're going to have today, we do hear a lot from people who have a lot of past suffering that goes back as far as childhood. So I'd like to start by talking about how what happens in childhood, how it affects one's adult life.
You know, the truth of the matter is the foundations of one's childhood, and often for an early age, especially before the age of 5, if we haven't received what we needed, and that means unconditional love, a sense of security. I did my master's and my PhD in attachment disorder. If a child does not have a sense of securely feeling attached, that really, without the healing of Christ, they will battle. And even with Christ's healing, they will be affected throughout their adulthood. Oftentimes will be affected throughout their adulthood. They need a real sense that I can count on my parents. I can feel safe. I can feel emotionally, physically safe. And if the building blocks, the foundations of that is turned upside down in a traumatic situation, it's supposed to affect us.
All right. That's a lot to chew on. It seems that that young age, it's hard to believe it's that critical.
Absolutely. You know, it's not just because I'm in the field of counseling, but, you know, just talking to people. I just recently went on a vacation that I felt very young because everybody else had more gray hair than I did. And believe it or not, was a little bit more overweight than I was too. So that made me feel really good. But the truth is, people in their 60s, in their 70s, in their 80s, once you start uncovering some of the onion skin, there are so many people that have never recovered, never understood why. And so they make choices based on so much of what is missing from their life. They have never developed a real strength of identity, and they are longing for, looking for, appreciating people's acceptance, approval of them. They've never arrived. It's not to say that, you know, there are the good news is there's lots of solid, good family relationships and families that make this work, both Christian and non-Christian. And the truth is, so there's a lot of good stories, but there are many stories that people say, I never got what I needed. And they may not be able to put their hands around it. They may not be able to put words to it. As a matter of fact, they may be emotionally absent and not be able to know really what they're feeling. They may not be able to understand what they're feeling. But again, if you start to uncover, you'll hear and you'll sense from them so much of what was not there for them in mm-hmm. childhood.
This whole forming an identity and feeling secure, it's a huge deal, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's the whole sense of how I can feel at peace. How can I feel comfortable in mm-hmm. my own skin? How, when I have a conversation with somebody else, am I okay about expressing myself, giving my opinion? And, you know, I know, as you're well aware, Bill, the strength of identity evolves as we have our relationship with the Almighty mm-hmm. who has created us, who is personal with us, who cares for us, who is unconditionally loving us. But really, we become strong in our identity as we understand who the Savior is, as we've accepted who He is. He's become us. We've become less of us. Because a lot of childhood issues, when you come right down to it, is we're filled with ourselves. We're not filled with a positive side of ourselves. We're filled with a negative side of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to replace, even if we had a great childhood, we still need to replace our identity, our strength of identity in Christ.
Oh, fascinating, Marcus. Now, I was thinking of Jesus coming out of the waters of baptism, and the heavens open, a dove descends, and the voice of God says, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." Mm. When you're told, you belong to me, I love you, and I'm proud of you, boy, you go out into the world in strength, don't you?
And when you haven't received that from your mother or father,
spend the rest of your life looking for it, don't you?
We sure do. especially from our father.
Oh, I
know. There's a tremendous amount of, I need that recognition. I want to know that I've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we look for it in all the wrong places.
Marcus Bachman is my guest, and he is the president of Counseling Care. You can go to counselingcare.us. That is his website, a couple offices here in the Twin Cities. If you have any question about marriage or a family matter, maybe you've got a dose of depression right now, and it's just not the January blues. It's something maybe more serious. Maybe it's an anxiety, or you need a word of advice from our expert we have in studio, Dr. Marcus Bachman. We'll take a short break. We welcome your calls, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to the show, 19 minutes after the hour. Dr. Marcus Bachman is in my studio, president of Counseling Care. Go to counselingcare.us, and we're talking about a number of things. If you have a question about a marriage or a family matter, we'd be delighted to take your call. We'll give you a Christian point of view, and we'll help you, hopefully, give you some word of encouragement or advice. I've got a caller on the line already. Tim is calling in from Madison. Tim, welcome to the show. You have a question for Dr. Bachman.
Yeah, hi. I've kind of studied this somewhat over the years. You know, I have a pretty good understanding. I've gotten into trouble when I was younger and all the different issues that kind of led to what I was looking for. And as I was growing up, as a kid, I was given up for adoption and then taken back. And my mother was never real happy about the situation. So there's a lot of animosity over the years. But recently, you know, I've gotten pretty successful and I'm fairly level-headed, and I think I'm pretty stable, but recently my son died. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he had about four or five years ago, he was involved with the heavy drugs, the cocaine and the heroin, along with his mother. And we've been divorced since 95. But he had OD'd twice, I guess. And he had quit that. He had to do some jail time for some stuff they got into. And then he did all of his time, and he got out and started working really hard. And it's like at 25, somebody flipped a switch, and all of a sudden he was an adult. And trying to be responsible, he started his own company. And then about 6 months ago, last June, I guess it's 8 months now, they said he went into the emergency room, and they said he had his heart was failing. There's something to do with his liver was damaging his heart. He had done a lot of damage to his liver. Over that 6 months, I didn't really take it as seriously as I should have, I guess, but he died in November. And I've been working like crazy. I took care of a lot of his issues, the things that needed to be cleaned up, and I thought I'd been doing pretty well, but it just seems like lately, when I've had time to settle down and slow down, I find myself not being able to think about things and just getting angry.
Mm. Pretty understandable, wouldn't you say, Marcus?
Absolutely. A lot of loss there.
Very, very sorry about your loss. I would imagine the anger is something that comes pretty naturally.
Well, it's people, when they're talking about it, say, oh, get over it. You know, the people just don't seem to understand.
That's not good
they
counsel.
Don't have a clue.
I'm going to let Marcus take over.
Well, Tim, I just want to make sure if there's a question in there. I certainly can comment on what your situation is, but I want to honor if there is a question in there. You know, Tim, it's such a backwards approach of one never expects to lose their son, a child. And it's just not supposed to happen in our way of thinking. And so it becomes a very complicated grief when that happens. And, you know, you've already experienced in your own life so many changes and so much of grief. Divorce in and of itself is huge and major. The adoption issue that you talked about. So, you know, I think when it comes to the loss of your son, you know, you need to be kind and loving to yourself, because that's exactly the message that God would give to you. You know, taking the time that you need to heal, to really, so much of what we do in our culture is we don't have time to feel the feelings. And God is a gentleman. He loves us in a gentle way. And, he would certainly, you know, encourage you to surround yourself with loving, supportive people, to be able to be heard and understood, and then to know the love that people have for you, and to understand, again, his love for you in this situation. You're probably at a place of vulnerability, and you got to watch that. And I would just encourage you to take the time that you need. Be kind to yourself in the process of your healing. God bless you, Tim. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, Tim, for calling. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's loss is always so complicated, isn't it, Marcus?
Well, especially in the case of where you just don't ever think it's going to happen for your own child. Mm-hmm. It's just the backwards. That's what the layers of complication are about, because you just keep thinking the whys and that it shouldn't happen, and you know, and especially for men. You know, we're just not that as strongly in tune often with our feelings and how to handle it. We need to fix, and there's nothing to fix here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to fix. It's a need to heal, and mm-hmm. God is very personal in that healing process. If we hear his voice, if we allow him to come in during mm-hmm. this very vulnerable time.
Yeah. Another caller named Jack from St. Paul wants to know, Marcus, how do you get permission to clean out a hoarder's house when she's still living there?
Whoa.
That's a tough one.
Whoa.
I think, yeah.
Well, you know, I guess back up to, It really has to have the responsibility of the person who is legally responsible, who has the home. I mean, until authorities, if they ever get involved, that person is going to live the life that they're going to live until they really see that they need to make some changes. And my best approach of any situation that's going to be successful is develop a relationship with that person, is to know that getting to know you, getting to care about who you are and understand you, you know, I mean, I'm going to dig, of course, a lot deeper being a therapist, but you don't have to be a therapist to be of influence to a person that has a problem like this. I think that if you can show the balance of listening and the balance of bringing truth to that person, that's an effective tool. And you need to have support yourself in the process, because it's not a simple little problem here.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, trying to really give some practical help. How about if we start with one area of the house at a time, because the whole house is going to be overwhelming. But just showing some progress bit by bit, saying, could we do this on Tuesdays? And coming over and, you know, putting a Goodwill pile or a Salvation Army pile together. I prefer Salvation Army. And and then a maybe pile and then a keeper's pile. And we can start with one part of the room. And in 2 months, seeing a clean room, wow, that's success. They may feel very, very good about and willing to go on to the next one.
That's a great great piece of advice, Marcus. I want to just remind all of our listeners that if you have a question, maybe it's about marriage or family, and you'd like some expert advice, give us a call, 877-933-2484. My guest, Dr. Marcus Bachmann, is president of Counseling Care. His website is counselingcare.us. Marcus, we have a hard break in a minute and 20 seconds. I'm going to set this question up and let you get started, but we do need to break here. I've got an anonymous caller, a female. She says, I feel a lot of shame because I never finished college and struggled a lot with learning. Now I can't get a great job, and I can't go back to school either. What can I do about it? Got about 35, 40 seconds just to get a thought started, and then we'll go to break.
Well, I mean, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
You know, shame involved, and, you know, the idea is college, what is that for everybody? I would say, as much as I like Northwestern, I would say that it's not for everybody. And, you know, I think there's this whole self-talk about what I can't do. Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about what we can do and what are some options out there that give us our own sense of what God's hand of blessing is, road to success.
That's fantastic. Let me take a little break. When we come back, more with Dr. Marcus Bachmann. If you have a question, 877-933-2484, or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back with Dr. Bachmann in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have Dr. Marcus Bachmann in my studio. He is the president of Counseling Care. Counselingcare.us is the website, counselingcare.us. You can go check it out. And before I want to revisit a question we were talking about, Marcus, give me the reasons people come in for counseling. What are they?
Top three reasons: depression, anxiety, and addiction.
Wow. All right. So if you have one of those issues in your life right now, you're absolutely welcome to call. You can remain anonymous, and you can ask any question you like, 877-933-2484, or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. The last caller, Marcus, was talking about shame, and that's got to be one of Satan's best tools.
Satan loves to nail us. And instead of the fact that we've done wrong things, we do wrong things, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean if we've done bad things that we're bad. There's a huge difference. And shame will say that there's something internally, something terribly dark wrong with you? And then the next trick that he has is, and don't tell anyone, because you're such a bad person, you're not worthy of having your story be heard. Keep it to yourself. And so people walk, even when we talk about childhood issues, that they think there's something incomplete. They start thinking, it's not something that just I missed, which they did miss in childhood, or something that was really traumatic, but there's something traumatically wrong with themselves. There's something internally wrong with themselves, and they don't talk about it. They keep it to themselves. And for years and years, they walk, which Satan absolutely smiles at, so that they're not effective. They're not successful. Even the person that's calling in about not finishing up school, there is nothing bad about that person that they didn't finish school. They may feel that it wasn't the right choice, but that doesn't mean that they are internally shamefully bad.
But the narrative in this person's brain is that somehow I'm not measuring up, or I'm not able now to get the job I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Marcus, your point was so well taken. Instead of talking about what you can't do, talk about what you can do.
Yeah. Let's turn it around.
I mean, if you want to come out with a list of people who didn't finish school, let's start with Steve Jobs and a whole list of other people.
That's right. Let's talk about some very successful people. And then you really get into the whole idea of what measures success. So if that means the car I drive or the house I have or the clothes I have and all those things, that really is not the measure of success. And I really believe that being in the palm of God's hand, knowing that you're doing the work that God has called you to. And even if that's in a person who's in the nursing home, doing the work that God has for them, that means quietly praying for the person that they're sitting next to at the dining room table. Or that means, you know, this person who is at a lower paying job. What a joy it is to see people in a sense of knowing they're in God's will and they're doing what God has called them to. What a pleasure to see the smile on that person's face. We love to see that kind of success.
Mm.
That's a beautiful thing to see.
I bet every Christian can recite from memory Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which is don't worry about anything. They love that in their arsenal of verses they've memorized, but what is with all the anxiety in the world today that's affecting Christians as readily as it does non-Christians?
Yeah, as a side note, we have two psychiatrists on our staff, and the most popular approach towards psychiatrists is in medication management for children.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one reason is anxiety for children.
Wow.
That's a whole subject matter of its own, which I think is very, very concerning on a cultural level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's reasons for that. And, you know, even people who have wrong thinking and they can memorize that Bible verse about being, you know, not anxious,
mm-hmm.
they feel guilty. Why am I feeling anxious?
Right.
Well, Bill, let's just say that it is a, in some cases, it is a chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we to feel bad and shameful, wrong that we are diabetic? No. Why would we feel if it's a chemical imbalance? Not to say all anxiety is, but that is very important for us to understand. If what is the cause? We have a responsibility to understand truth in our life. And if it's in regard to our anxiousness, we need to know what that source is. If it's childhood neglect, if it wasn't what I needed, then I better figure that out. If it's a fact that it is chemical imbalance, if it's a fact that I am trying to be successful in a way that God has never intended for me to be, it wasn't his intention that I take my father's business over. And yet I'm taking his business over and I don't do well managing. I'd be anxious. If I were the guy that were having an affair, I should be anxious. If we're not in the hand of doing what God has called us to, anxiety should be there, other than chemical imbalance. I think we really have a responsibility of figuring this out.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get way off track there, Bill?
No, you didn't at all. I'm tracking with you completely, Marcus. Okay. I think it's fantastic. I'm just curious, when it comes to childhood, things that affect you in childhood, you're pretty much living those out in your adult life, aren't you?
Not always knowing it, but yes.
Yeah, you know, because people always want to talk about what went on in their childhood, and I always think, well, you're living it out in your adult life, aren't you?
And you know, having five biological children, I'm just always amazed that, you know, they get together and they'll talk about something in childhood, a certain holiday, a certain event, and there are five people. It's like they all went to the car accident and saw the car accident so differently than the other person did. You know, they just see it from their perspective. And if that's in what I would consider a healthy family, can you imagine in an unhealthy, unmet needs family, how the perspective is? And if Satan uses that to say, and there's typically partial truths that he involves. You see, he may say, you see, your parents didn't really think you were good enough. And in some ways, maybe they didn't. Maybe they really felt that B student wasn't good enough, or whatever the case is. There's a partial truth. And then he mixes it up with, see, you're not good enough for anything.
Mm-hmm. Safe to say we're all living one or two little lies, maybe some big.
Well, Bill, if you only had one or two little lies, I think you're incredible. I have a whole... if I don't check myself every day, I got quite a few groaning around there.
All right. But we do have misconceptions or little fables that we have about ourselves that continue to live on in our heads unless we speak God's truth into our lives.
Yeah, and isn't that's why it's so good. You and I were just talking during that break about how important it is to have friends who will do a reality check with us as we're thinking about our plans, giving our honest thoughts. It's tremendously helpful to have someone who has wisdom to give us feedback. I don't think we're ever going to be too old for that. That's mm-hmm. that's a tremendous blessing that God has in the fellowship with other believers.
Mm-hmm. So you do recommend just being in fellowship and being able to try to find a place and a friend that you can talk very candidly with?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will say there's the millennials have had a really bad rap. But one of the greatest things millennials are all about is authenticity in relationships, real relationships. And I say, boy, do they have a biblical principle. It works.
Mm-hmm.
It is healing. So there's a lot to relationships, reading God's word, having his word wash us with truth. We can never minimize the power of God's word, the fellowship of believers. And without trying to promote my business, I just think there are really significant ways talking to a person who's trained both in Christian counseling, in the profession, but also in God's word, how that blend can be very helpful for a person who's been struggling.
Mm-hmm. I would agree completely. I think anyone who goes and speaks to a therapist like you, Marcus, would find out that they're able to unload some things that they didn't even know were heavy in their heart. The stuff comes out, and you go, and they might even be surprised, right?
It surprises me sometimes. I have clients that come back week later and say, Dr. Bachman, you know what you shared with me last week has really been heavy on my mind, and it has really made a significant change in my thoughts. And of course, Bill, I'm thinking, oh no, what did I say? What did I say? And I often remember, you know, that was a Holy Spirit moment. I asked a question. I stated something that really needed to be emphasized in that person's life. It was as if the Holy Spirit, of course, knew much more than I did, and in our counseling session brought illumination, light to that person. And it was like that marble in a person's head rolled back and forth, did a great job of cleaning and cleansing.
Mm. I have a question from a caller that was wondering about premarital pre-engagement counseling. Are you a fan of that?
Yes.
Do you think a weekend to remember would be appropriate?
Oh, I am a great supporter of a weekend to remember. I will say this about any weekend. It's a weekend. And I used to do premarital counseling for many years. And I was always concerned when my 8-week session, which I never thought was long enough, maybe that's because I like to talk too much. But and they said, could you do it on Friday night and Saturday morning?
Nah.
I got
39 kids at home. I can't.
Right. And it was convenient for them. You know, I mean, it really was convenient. But we lost something. So as much as I can talk out of both sides of my mouth, yes, 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 a weekend, but also a longer approach toward several weeks, if not months,
okay,
would be much more beneficial for mm-hmm. someone who's needing to take the time in between each session, do some homework, meditate, think about it, process it, and come back. I think that is actually the ideal. Or combine that with a weekend. Then we really got it. Mm-hmm. We had a gold right there.
Nice. Another listener has said, is there a good kind of grief? Is there a good kind of grief?
Yeah, yeah. I think the fact that when we talk about shame, that would be a bad kind of grief. Denial would be bad. Being honest and authentic about who we are. You know, we're all, if we were honest, on the road to recovery, would be the most probably profound thing that we can tell ourselves. We need healing, and we're all being healed from something. Grief is that way. If we're honest with ourselves, we can, I mean, God knows our thoughts. He knows what's going on in the whole realm of feelings. And if there's anyone, he can handle anything that's in our head, including our sorrow and our grief that is so deep. So authentic and real being with God and pouring ourselves out and allowing him to have our feelings, which, you know, Bill, you might be surprised. I'm not that strong of a believer in feelings. I come from a very logic side. I grew up on a farm and, you know, get the work done. Mm-hmm. So I'm really kind of careful of not having feelings control us. But the truth is, when we go through authentic, honestly going through grief, that's the best way. And yes, it involves feelings, but eventually it needs to be brought to truth. Who is God? Why might he have allowed something? What is it that he's teaching me? How can I become who he has called me to through this grief? So I'm going on too long.
No, it's all good stuff.
I just strongly believe that we move and understand our feelings. We go beyond that. We're honest and authentic about what happened. Real can be, and then we really get into the truth of, and now what? What do you have in store for me now?
Yeah.
It's good things.
Yeah,
it's good things.
I feel a little bit the way you feel, Marcus, you know, about the feelings. You know, I grew up in Edina, and I always said, let's pay to get the work done. So I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know about you, Edina kids.
All right, let's not go
there. Here we go.
We have time for a couple more calls. Please give us a ring, 877-933-2484. Any question you have, we will tackle it as best we can. Dr. Marcus Bachman is my guest in studio, and it's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. 12 minutes until the top of the hour. And I'm talking to Dr. Marcus Bachman in studio. We're having a great time. If you have a question for him, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Marcus, is it safe to say that all of us have 1, 2, 3, or 17 things that we need to officially mourn and get over it?
Well, you know, you are an excellent client.
Thank you.
By labeling 17, you're kind of like the client that comes in, I have 7 of the 10.
Right.
And I'm supposed to know what they're talking about. And they've been watching too many commercials that they need Lyrica or whatever the commercial is, and they say, 7 of the symptoms I've got. So, okay, I'm sorry. Is it safe to know?
No, no, no. Is it safe to say that we all have something in our history that we need to just mourn and put it to rest.
Yeah.
Because we're hanging on to it. Yep. And sometimes, like, I have to mourn the fact I'm never going to be the relief pitcher for the Yankees. But if I keep thinking I might, I'm an idiot, right?
Well, that's where your friends come in. They set you straight, so you know, or your sisters or whoever.
Yeah, right.
So no, I think the truth of the matter is we shouldn't put such a restriction about grief and thinking, okay, I gave myself the day or the month or whatever, and you know, I cried, I actually had tears, and I'm over it now. And the truth of the matter is, especially with complicated grief, people mourn differently, and they mourn at different times, and even when they think it's done, it can trigger just like that. And the truth of the matter is, in a situation where if we love someone deeply, we will rightfully miss them and mourn for them and grieve for them because it represents the depth of love mm-hmm. that we had for that person. So, you know what? 6 years later, I'm at Kmart, and I remember my mom took me there. Mm-hmm. Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that do anything? I hadn't been in Kmart for 6 years. Well, that's because you weren't at Kmart for 6 years. And the memory, you know, God has given us an incredible mind here of files to remember. And those include precious files of attachment and loving that person, if that makes sense, Bill.
It does. A couple of callers are flying in here. Here's anonymous female. A friend of mine is really struggling seeing frightening shadows and feeling really anxious. She's nervous to go see a therapist and talk about it with anyone else. If she were to go to a therapy, what would she expect to happen during a session?
Well, I'd close the shades and I'd start putting light out for mm-hmm. shadows to happen so that she could recreate the... I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
just kidding.
I know.
I'm a very mean therapist. No. Okay, that wasn't even funny. You know, what they would expect would be someone who is very thoughtful and sensitive and, we care deeply about people. So our sensitivity is if someone has fear in that area, we would take it very slowly
mm-hmm.
and get to know each other, and they would be able to trust us and even laugh at our jokes or whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You know, eventually we can talk about the area that is of concern.
Yeah.
And you do it again. You do it in layers, and the layers allow you to have, you know, let's talk about that. And depending on how comfortable they are, okay, we'll talk more. So.
Yeah. Let me get to a caller. Bruce is on the line, calling in from Minneapolis. Bruce, welcome to the show. You have a question for Marcus.
Oh, hi. Thanks. And I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you.
Just wanted to comment, really, that something that the Lord's been impressing on me lately, in recent months, really, I guess, is that my emotions, my feelings, my pains, my sorrows are really intended to drive my prayer life.
Great comment.
You know, I can wallow in them, or I can just take them to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed me that when I'm suffering from grief, from loss or pain or whatever, that's my opportunity to see him more clearly.
That's beautiful. Bruce, thank you. Great comment.
Thank you.
That is a beautiful understanding of taking everything to God in prayer. And he is a listener, and he is, instead of us always talking, it's really good for us to lay it before him. And in that laying before him, in quietness, I think there's a tremendous, and bathing it in prayer and in God's word, I don't want to minimize that for a moment, how precious that healing can come. There are all other ways that work for people. And as I've said before, the fellowship, the sharing with another brother or sister, has is also God ordained, And not to minimize, even though I'm a guy and I don't like journaling, there's a lot of power in putting our thoughts, our emotions down on paper, because the pen, once it's in our hand, it can do some really some powerful things to release our thoughts and our feelings that need to be released. Remember, all of what we're talking about is emptying ourselves out, releasing, giving up, so that something else, and for us that are believers, so that God's Word and Christ Himself can dwell within us. What a powerful way for healing to occur.
Yeah. All right, Marcus, here's a question from an anonymous male. I was in a sinful relationship, and we went our own separate ways. It's been 2 months now, and I found God. Is it bad that I want her back now? How do I go about it the right way?
Oh, that's a few sessions.
Yeah,
that's
a few sessions.
I would love to know, you know, what's the attraction? You know, our emotions should not be trusted. Our emotions drive us often to places that the flesh wants us to go. So would you miss someone that if it's a sinful relationship? Well, sure, your emotions would. And is it, again, is that what should drive us? It shouldn't be a surprise that we're attracted. Whether it's anything from junk food to an inappropriate relationship, the truth is our flesh is powerful, very powerful. And once we've tasted, we want more and we go back. So that's no surprise. Being involved in a relationship, in a counseling relationship, can reveal probably so much about a deeper understanding of where all that is coming from. So, yeah, no surprise there in that understanding.
Mm-hmm. Been a fast hour, Marcus. It's hard to believe that I still have stuff on the plate coming in, but we're kind of out of time. And I do want to give listeners a chance to know where to find out more about you and your counseling services, because you have two offices in the Twin Cities.
Yes.
Help me with that.
We have Burnsville, Lake Elmo. No one knows where Lake Elmo is, except for Lake Elmo people.
Yeah.
But it's Woodbury, East and South Metro. We have 32 counselors able to take almost all insurances and have a sliding fee scale, and have two psychiatrists for medication management, and have people with different expertise and different licenses, all with a biblical-based, Christ-honoring approach toward. And we invite, even though a majority of people that we have are believers, we have non-believers, and we are obviously accepting and working with people of no faith and other faiths too.
Mm-hmm. I just want to throw this in because we've got so little time, but maybe you can answer very quickly. I've got I have a chronic disease and a son with autism. We're going to counseling as a family now to help deal with this. I'm wanting to switch over to a Christian counselor. Any recommendations? Yes, Dr. Marcus Bachman.
That's very kind.
Yeah, you can go to counselingcare.us. Counselingcare.us is his website. Thank you so much, Marcus, for coming into the studio and being my guest today. It's been great.
Bill, this felt just very comfortable.
Yeah.
And thank you for allowing me the opportunity.
Well,
God bless you.
You were a big hit in my eyes, and I want you back, so we'll get you back on the schedule because I know listeners love your compassionate and caring counsel. That wraps up our show. If you missed any of today, head back to myfaithradio.com, go to the Afternoons with Bill Arnold show page, and you can hear any and everything that was said today. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.